This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. Welcome back to the second hour of your Sunday Spin on March 12th, the second Sunday in March. It's 8:10 on Central Daylight Time on this Sunday morning. So make sure everybody you got your clocks going here. It was a little rough this morning, I'll admit, for myself to get here to the Allstate Showcase Studio here in Tribune Tower. But joining me here in the Allstate Showcase Studio is State Representative Chris Welch, Democrat from Hillside. Thank you so much for making the time change adjustment and making it here to the studio this morning.
Good morning, Rick. Happy to be here. I got to tell you, it's quite early for me still. My body's on the old time.
we're all on the older we get, the more we're on the old time, I think, is what we say.
Absolutely.
Well, I wanted to have you in because I know you've got this legislation called, it's the Local Government Tax Accountability Act.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about this bill in the past, I think last year, and it kind of got hung up in the hoops. Why don't you just start out and just explain to people what this bill would do?
Well, you're talking, Rick, about House Bill 2717. And I filed this bill because I represent 12 near west suburban communities. Maywood's in the right in the center of my district. It's a community that's struggling financially, just like many communities across this great state. And here is a bill that doesn't cost anyone anything if they don't find any money. It gives municipalities the authority to hire these outside consultants, basically to audit the Department of Revenue's sales tax receipts distribution. And what we have seen is that the Department of Revenue, which is made up of a bunch of humans, make mistakes, and they send money to the wrong places. And we've seen it recently where the city of Joliet found $400,000 that they didn't know belonged to them until one of these outside consulting companies found it for them. So this is a great opportunity where in a time where people are turning over pillow cushions looking for coins, you know, let's give them some authority to hire these companies to go out and find money that rightfully belongs to them.
Now, as I understand, the Department of Revenue has raised privacy concerns.
Well, they've raised privacy concerns that you can't share this information with outside parties and things of that nature, and I think that's one of the reasons why the bill is needed. But I also think the Department of Revenue just doesn't want people to realize the magnitude of the mistakes that they're making. Many municipalities across the state have had situations where they have found that their sales tax receipts have gone to the wrong place because DOR mixes up the zip codes. And so I think it's they just don't want to know how big the problem is, and I think we should know.
Yeah, and this is, again, this isn't about more money. This is about existing money that Department of Revenue collects the sales tax from the retailers, and it's supposed to be rebated back out to the municipalities.
Correct.
This is not about any kind of increases or tax increases or anything of that nature.
It's not a tax increase in any way. It's monies that should rightfully belong to a municipality, and these outside consultants are trained, have trained eyes, and know what they're looking for. Many times, you know, it's a wonderful surprise to a municipality to find out that, hey, wow, I got $400,000 due to me.
Yeah, and you've got municipalities that are struggling with their own tax base. You have the fact that the municipality is being caught in the switches and the Springfield stalemate.
Local municipalities are under attack, and, you know, they can only raise property taxes so much. Property tax owners, you know, can't take any more. And we have a situation where the local government distribution fund is always under attack. That's a large source of revenue that these municipalities depend on.
That's the portion of the state income tax that is channeled back to local municipalities.
That's correct. So here, let's give them a tool where they can go out there and find revenues that may belong to them or that does belong to them that was probably sent to the wrong place. I don't see a downside to this.
But it still has trouble getting traction.
It's amazing.
In Springfield.
You know, it seems to happen like that in Springfield sometimes.
Well, there's a lot of things that might look to be common sense tend to have problems in Springfield.
Yeah, just I'm still figuring it out 4 years later.
And if you figure it out, let me know after all of the years I've been watching this. I want to ask you, I touched on the stalemate. We saw the efforts in the Senate by Senate President John Cullerton, Democrat, Republican leader Christine Rodonio for the, quote, grand bargain, basically the grand bargain evaporating. And we're back to a lot of the rhetoric that's going on here. And I think there are real questions about barring any kind of calamity or some kind of legal case like AFSCME or in the state employee paychecks, those kinds of things. Absent that, we may go to 2018 without ever having a full year budget in this state.
Rick, it is truly my fear that we will go till 2018 without a budget. And in my opinion, there is one person who, if he decides to do his job, we can get a budget tomorrow, and that's the governor. The governor is the CEO of this state. It is his constitutional responsibility to propose a balanced budget to the Illinois General Assembly to consider. And we're in year three of his administration, and he's had three budget addresses that he's delivered to the General Assembly, and he has yet to propose a balanced budget. And just as we saw with this grand bargain fiasco, the governor encouraged them in his state of the state and in his budget address to continue talking, keep working. They're doing great work. And then it was the governor who interjected at the last minute, pulling Republicans off the floor and killed the deal. And so I just believe that that's all an proof that there's one guy who's controlling whether or not this state has a budget. And I just believe Bruce Rauner, just like he said when he was candidate Rauner, wants to govern in a state of chaos.
Well, the governor says that people who say just do a budget, that's a code from Democrats that is just do a tax increase.
Well, I don't buy that narrative. But what we do know is that in order to get a budget deal, there's going to have to be a combination of cuts in revenue. That's the opinion of everyone. To do a responsible budget, it's going to take a combination of cuts in revenue. What that revenue looks like, I don't know, but there's certainly proposals that should be considered. I have a bill on file that talks about closing corporate loopholes and carried interest loopholes, and other colleagues have things on the file like the financial transaction tax, taxing those folks over there on LaSalle Street. There's ways that we can create revenue without passing it on to the regular guy. At least let's have these conversations seriously and get a budget passed like the great state of Illinois deserves.
We're speaking with Democratic State Representative Chris Welch from Hillside. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. (312) 981-7200 is our phone number. This is your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue. Joining me here in studio is State Representative Chris Welch, Democrat from Hillside. We were talking about the Springfield stalemate, and I find this kind of an interesting position that we're in, is that in the last election cycle, with the legislative elections, that it was the voice messaging of the Republicans subsidized by the governor that everything is Mike Madigan's fault and the Democrats he controls. And now it seems like that message might be mooted somewhat because of Governor Rauner and the fact of his financial resources, which he wants to use to elect a Republican, erode the Democratic majority in the legislature. And so we really have this kind of control cycle going at each other here.
Well, I think if anything, the events of the last couple of weeks, particularly with the grand bargain, it shows that it's not Mike Madigan who's holding things up. It's Governor Rauner. It's Boss Rauner and the guy who controls Republicans. He single-handedly pulled people off the floor and killed a deal that they had been working on very hard for weeks, that the Senate president and the minority leader, Christine Redonio, who took a lot of heat from people to put that deal together, and the governor killed it. So it's Boss Rauner and the Republicans he control, and that should be the narrative. And I think that's been going on for 4 years, and we just finally saw it bubble to light.
I want to talk about
for 2 years, I'm sorry.
Right. I want to talk about some of the legislation that you also have, other legislation you have pending. I know one subject matter you're very interested in is the issue of these so-called sanctuaries, for sanctuary cities, sanctuary counties, as far as immigration, particularly in light of kind of the renewed efforts by the Trump administration.
Yeah, you know, I'm fully supportive of sanctuary cities and sanctuary status. I have a bill, House Bill 426, though, is Immigration Safe Zones Act. That's different than sanctuary cities. What we're saying is that at a minimum, there should be some safe places, safe spaces that people should be able to go without living in fear. And I think most people can agree that schools and hospitals are those types of places. Those are places of learning, places of healing, places of care. And you shouldn't be afraid to go there because you're afraid if you are there, you know, ICE is going to bust in and raid the place and deport you. So, you know, that's a bill that's pending, and this week it's probably going to get a lot of action because there's an Immigration Day of Action in Springfield on Wednesday, and I intend to speak at the rally, and I'm hoping that we're close to calling the bill.
Where does that bill stand in the process right now?
Well, we're very close. It's on the House floor. It's out of committee. You know, I'm working the roll call, and we're getting very close.
But we don't know what the governor might want to say. He says he's for comprehensive immigration reform, but
you know,
he also doesn't believe in kind of the concept of sanctuary cities, of choosing where you enforce the law.
Well, again, this is not even sanctuary. This is safe.
Sure, I understand that.
And this is saying if you have a valid warrant, they're going to be allowed in. And the governor is on record. Last week he did an interview on WBEZ where he says Illinois should be a welcoming state to immigrants. Here's his opportunity to show that by signing House Bill 426. He also gave a speech a couple of weeks ago where he talked about being, his grandparents being immigrants. And, you know, the governor of all people should want to send the signal to their state and to the rest of the world that Illinois is a place that you can come and live without fear of deportation.
You're also the chairman of the House Higher Education Committee, and we had Tom Cross, the chairman of the Board of Higher Ed, on recently. And even since then, we've seen universities, public universities, taking steps to have to curb the number of course offerings, of degree offerings. We have the issue out northeastern Illinois about student workers losing their jobs because of how they fall in the rank of with full-time employees who have to take a week's furlough. Are we getting very close to the tipping point here as far as education?
Well, as far as higher education,
For
sure, because we funded K through 12 the last 2 years. Higher education is really suffering. And the last 2 years under Governor Rauner, we have seen about $1.5 billion in cuts to our higher education system. And just last week, I was out at Northeastern University, and, you know, teachers are being forced to take furloughs during spring break. Students are being laid off from their work-study jobs. You know, it's unbelievable what's going on, and it's tragic. You know, you got to understand it. By investing in higher education, we're investing in Illinois' economy. We lift up Illinois through our higher education system because those are the people, if you educate them here, they're going to stay here, they're going to buy homes, raise families, and pay taxes. And to allow what is happening to our higher education system, I think the governor is being derelict in his duties.
Well, and I also saw a report, too, that when it comes to even students and tech startups through institutions, through higher education institutions, that Illinois, far and away, you know, is the leader in the nation.
It is. And just look at what's happening at U of I alone. The research park down there is probably second only to Simi Valley, if not, number one now. I mean, and it's a huge economic engine for the state. And we don't want to risk losing the next generation because people aren't coming to Illinois schools. And we already see it happening. And if we don't resolve this budget crisis soon, particularly when it comes to higher education, we are going to lose the next generation to other states.
That's Democratic State Representative Chris Welch, Democrat from Hillside. Representative, thank you so much for joining me this morning in studio on Central Daylight Time Sunday.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We'll be back with more right after this.